Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Siobhan Madigan, thank you very much indeed for that. And we'll hear from Siobhan with an updated sports bulletin in about an hour's time. Now, the inquest into the death of Aoife Johnston at University Hospital Limerick has heard further medical witnesses describe the overcrowding at the emergency department there as a chaotic war zone, but also that staff are accustomed to it being that busy. The coroner's court in Kilmallock has heard the 16-year-old from Shannon in County Clare went untreated for a suspected sepsis for over 12 hours prior to her tragic death in December 2022. The hospital and the HSE have apologised to the Johnston family for catastrophic failings and missed opportunities in Aoife's care. John Cook has been following proceedings on day two of the inquest and he joins me now. John, you might tell us more of what's been said regarding conditions in the ED in Limerick this afternoon.
Yes, Cormac. There have been many medical witnesses today who worked at the University of Limerick Hospital on December 17th and 18th, 2022, the busiest weekend on record at the time we heard, though it's been as busy again since then, it was said too. With patient numbers in the emergency department at 191 on the night of the 17th heading into the 18th and a yellow warning for icy conditions leading to many presentations for falls, fractures and bone breakages, as well as winter respiratory illnesses, most to the doctors and nurses giving evidence today agree that conditions were chaotic that night, like a war zone, said most, in which conditions were risky, dangerous and hard to function, according to Clinical Nurse Manager 3 Alison Nolan, this evening's last witness, who in the last few minutes has been speaking of many nursing and healthcare assistant absences leading to significant staff shortages on the night in question. The witness before her was Assistant Director of Nursing Nicola Quinn, who was on duty on the day shift of December 17th and 18th. She said the emergency department was very busy and conditions were unprecedented, but asked about the comments of other colleagues regarding chaos or a war zone, she said she wouldn't use those words. Yes, it was very, very busy, she said, but it wasn't a busyness that we weren't used to, she said. What was different, according to Nurse Quinn, was the number of Category 2 patients, like Aoife Johnston, who should have been seen urgently within 10 to 15 minutes by a doctor, but she agreed it was taking 12 hours and later 19 hours for such urgent cases to be seen. She agreed that 16-year-old Aoife should have been seen in the resus area, but it was at double capacity and she could have been treated for sepsis elsewhere, she said. Asked about the comment of a previous nursing witness who said there was an over-concentration of registrar doctors in the resus area rather than other areas of the emergency department that night, and that much of their time was being taken up with fractures and non-life threatening injuries like bone injuries relating to the icy weather as opposed to dealing with sick patients outside of resus in other zones of the ED, she said she would agree. She confirmed, as other staff did on the night, that they were not aware of any escalation plan for the hospital to deal with the extra injuries and illnesses that were expected from a red weather warning for ice earlier in the week and yellow warnings that weekend. Nurse Quinn said there was no escalation plan. There is now, though, she said, since Aoife's death. Now, Cormac, this was a long and lengthy submission from Nurse Quinn and much cross-examination following as well. The Assistant Director of Nursing said she exhausted all options that day to get more staff for the night ahead and contacted the Executive Manager on call to discuss the patient transfers needed to alleviate pressure so she could could see the pressure growing in the emergency department that evening. Nurse Quinn said she only became aware of Aoife Johnston on her return the following day shift on December 18th. She said there was no information given in the handover regarding the 16-year-old who was being moved to resus in a very deteriorated state at that time. Under cross-examination, it was put to her that 14 hours after Aoife's admission with suspected sepsis, there was still no mention of her in handover. What do you say to that? Asked Damien Tansey on behalf of the Johnston family. In reply, Nurse Quinn said that it was a miss and 100% unsatisfactory. She said all Category 2 urgent triage cases should have been reassessed or re-triaged, as she put it, overnight when she was not on duty, she reminded him, so Aoife might have been seen quicker. But staff were busy, she said, and it didn't happen. That's where Aoife was let down, she answered. Also, in a heated cross-examination that followed, Nurse Quinn agreed that Aoife Johnson needed antibiotics but did not get them for over 12 hours. Damien Tansey asked her about the medication she was given for vomiting and fever. He said they were utterly ineffective. It could have been Smarties she was given, he said, and they would have been just as effective. Nurse Quinn said she couldn't disagree. She said she needed antibiotics and didn't dispute either that nurses had sought doctors three times to see Aoife overnight, but nothing happened. She reminded Mr. Tansey that, that this was a matter for the doctors, that she was not on duty that night, but also in tears herself, she asked him, "Do you think I don't regret that day? The day that Aoife died, I do," she said, visibly moved, "and so do all of my colleagues at the hospital in Limerick, Cormac."
Yesterday, John, you told us how one senior nurse felt broken by how Aoife Johnson died in the ED and so never worked there again. Tell us about similar evidence from a doctor at the inquest this morning.
Yeah, this was Dr. Leandri Caird, who was the only senior house officer on duty on the night, she said, along with two emergency medicine registrars looking after 191 patients in the emergency department in zones A, B, C, paediatrics and the resus area, she said, which was full with large numbers of patients on trolleys in what she agreed were intolerable conditions. Large numbers presenting due to falls and bone breakages during the icy weather, she said. Nurses were overwhelmed, and Category 2 patients like Aoife Johnston, who was triaged as a Category 2 case under international triage protocols. It's called the Manchester protocols. We've heard lots about them in this case. It meant she needed attention from a doctor within 10 to 15 minutes. They were not being seen in this Category 2 for up to 19 hours, and for Category 3 patients, there was up to a 39-hour wait. Dr. Caird said nursing staff had come to her in recess to prescribe symptomatic management medication for patients in the ED like Aoife Johnson. Prescribing of medication without seeing patients first, she said, was not best practice or an ideal situation and could lead, she agreed, under cross-examination to adverse outcomes. But it's commonplace, she said, in the busy emergency department in Limerick, happening on every shift, every day. Dr. Caird was asked to come and review Aoife Johnson around 6 a.m. on the morning of December 18th, 2022, and was the first doctor to see her over 12 hours after she'd first come to the emergency department. She said she went to see her ahead of 10 other patients. It was an impossible situation for staff, she said, agreeing the emergency department was like a war zone. She said, in terms of prioritising patients, you do what you have to survive. She said Aoife had some markers for sepsis. She prescribed Aoife with antibiotics for suspected meningitis around 6:45, adding disappointment that the medication wasn't given as urgently as she'd hoped. They were administered at 7:15 and 7:20. She said she had impressed the urgency on nurses of getting these antibiotics, but the staff were overwhelmed. Offering her condolences to the grieving Johnston family while in tears herself today, Dr. Caird confirmed in cross examination that she no longer works for the HSE but is employed now in a private clinic. With Damien Tansey referring, he's the senior counsel for the Johnston family, referring to the comments we heard yesterday, Cormac, that you mentioned from clinical nurse manager Catherine Skelly, who told the inquest that she left work after 23 years in the ED on the weekend of Aoife Johnston's death and didn't return because she felt professionally and personally broke by that poor girl's death. Dr. Caird agreed that her decision to leave HSE employment was too directly linked to Aoife's death. Yes, it was instrumental in her decision to leave, and she left the witness boxes in tears today, Cormac.
Okay. What other witnesses were heard today, John?
There have been very many Cormac medical witnesses going on right up until the last few minutes, indeed, and I'll take you through some of them briefly. Mm-hmm. Dr. Manaj Kumar Budahalia gave evidence from India in an online forum through a laptop due to technical issues with a bigger screen. He was a medical registrar who worked at the hospital in Limerick in December 22. He'd seen Aoife in the resus area the morning after she arrived and said she was extremely agitated, deteriorating and unwell at that stage. Emergency medicine physician Dr. Mohammed Bilal said he wasn't directly involved in Aoife Johnson's case, but he spoke of a shortage of staff and an extremely high volume of patients coming to the ED the same night due to falls and breakages. He agreed the ED was chaotic and like a war zone, he said, but didn't recall nurses coming to him, he said, to escalate Aoife Johnson's case. He also agreed that prescribing medication without seeing patients is not best practice, but in a busy ED, he said, there's always a time lapse before you see patients, and symptomatic treatment for things like vomiting and dehydration is necessary while patients wait. Senior House Officer Dr. Lauren Fernandez recalled meeting Aoife Johnson's parents on the morning after they came in as her shift began. They were anguished and afraid, she said, due to the deterioration of their daughter's condition overnight, and there was little I could say to them at that stage, she said, as she found an unseen medically referred patient was being moved to resus. Under cross-examination, Dr. Fernandez said she agreed timely intervention is of the utmost importance in the treatment of sepsis, that Aoife should have been seen within 10 to 15 minutes under internationally recognised triage rules, the Manchester protocols, but she agreed she was not seen for 12 hours after that, and Dr. Fernandez agreed with senior counsel for the Johnston family, Damien Tansey, when he said Aoife was beyond cure by the time her case was finally escalated, Cormac.
Okay, John Cook reporting from the Limerick Coroner's Court in Kilmallock. Thank you very much indeed.